Hello, I'm Chris Marland, and you're listening to Picture Book Podcast. My guest this week is author Christina Myers. Christina, thank you very much for joining me on the show today.
Hello, Chris, and thank you for having me.
I must ask you, what inspired you to be an author?
Well, I think it goes back to when I was a child and my mother would sit and read books to me. I so enjoyed that quality time, and we would read the same stories over and over again. And I still have many of those books and have kept them over the years to read to my children. And it's neat to see how a story can travel not only around the world, but then travel through time. Because even as an adult and seeing things from her point of view and reading to my children, it's just, there's something so wonderful about children's books and just bringing you back to a simpler time.
I couldn't agree more. I have a daughter and I love reading bedtime stories to her. There's nothing better than having a picture book that you can read together as a family, bringing that real connection together. So you're an author. You've written your own book entitled The Little Boy Who Wouldn't Eat Cheesecake. Please explain the story for those who are unfamiliar with the story.
Sure. So it's based on a true story set during World War II. And it's a story that my father-in-law would tell the family at the dinner table with our children, his grandkids, and my niece and nephew. And he would tell the story about when he was growing up. He would say, "Have you heard the story about the little boy who wouldn't eat cheesecake?" And the kids would giggle because they'd heard the story many times. But it was neat because it was just such a great family time moment where he would share this story. And I could relate to being someone when I was a child, I did not like cheesecake. I thought, you know, you put the words cheese and cake together. And when you're a kid, sometimes that sounds like, why would you do that? And I thought it was like cheddar cheese and cake. So I couldn't quite, you know, reconcile that in my mind. So when he would tell the story, I knew exactly what he was going through as a child. And I wanted to share the story with other kids. I thought it was a great story, and I asked for his permission to use the story, but then also to change up the ending a little bit at the end so that it kind of continues and keeps going.
Yes, it relates to what you were saying before about sharing stories from the past. And as you're talking about the synopsis of the story then, I just recalled the moment where he's thinking about whether having a cheesecake is a good idea, and he has this thought in his head of what cheesecake might be, and he sees it as like adding cheese to a cake and thinking that this can't be possible. I thought that is so true to how a child would react if they heard the word cheesecake for the first time, thinking, how is this possible? Who would create something like this? And being a teacher, I really want to read this to my children because I've come across so many fussy eaters during my experience of being a teacher. And I think this book would relate so much to what the children experience, not just with trying new foods, but also just trying new things in general. So I really can't wait to read this story to my children.
Oh, and you'll have to tell me too how they their response to it, because it's really funny the way that children react and their takeaways from the stories.
It's definitely, I'll have to. Regarding children as well, I've seen that you've actually read this book to children. There's a lovely photo of you reading your story to children. Can you tell me what was the feedback like from those children who've listened to the story?
So one thing that's really interesting is in the beginning of the story, I talk about Papa Roger, and he comes in wearing a fedora hat. And, well, I say a fedora. I don't say a hat. And then I ask the children, do you know what a fedora is, by looking at the picture? And it's neat to watch them guess, and they love to have fun with this. And I actually, my father-in-law gifted me a fedora to use for story time. So I bring the fedora so they can see it. And the kids really love it. So it's been great going to, I find that it's been so much fun to interact with children and to read to them and to get, you get true, genuine feedback and honest feedback from children. A lot of them will just tell you exactly what they think. And so it's been fun to watch them. They can really relate to the whole little Roger Myers trying to figure out this whole cheesecake thing. And does he want to try it? Does it, you know, he already made up his mind. Should he try it before he makes this decision to ever try it? So it's a lot of fun to have that interaction with the kids.
It's great to hear that you've had so many great comments from children and to hear that so many children have listened to your story. How else have you promoted this book?
So one of the things that happened was when we put this book out there, it was in during 2020, right when COVID was starting to get, everything was shutting down. And so still felt like we should go ahead and push this book through and get it out there. And so even though it was a really difficult time, we found that working with restaurant owners, people, especially like bakeries, things like that, asking if they'd be interested in doing some type of story time. We had it, social distancing, but at the same time, we were able to do that. And so then I learned that actually having a children's book about a food item actually worked really well with marketing to work with. So like Red Rose Tea, they had a strawberry cheesecake tea. And so called them up and sent emails them and they were excited about the book and they actually sent me samples. And it was just a great way to work with other companies that were also struggling and trying to find ways to collaborate and work together. So, and then working with schools, preschools, and elementary, the younger elementary school kids, being able to go for story time or figure out what works for the teachers or that would be, because there's National Cheesecake Day is during the summer. So I usually try to do something in the summer to help promote it. But then during the school year, getting into schools and getting to be able to do story time has just been great.
Oh, that's great. Absolutely. What I really do like about this book, besides the fact that it teaches that message about you shouldn't resist trying something new, I like how it's historical as well. It relates to history because at the beginning of the story, we discover that it's set in the 1940s. And then the end, we're reminded of what the situation was like during that time. Because obviously we had World War II happening. And at the end of the story, the boy who's finally enjoys eating cheesecake discovers that he can no longer have it for the time being because sugar has been rationed. And that means that he won't be able to have cheesecake for a while. So he has to set with carrot cake instead. But I really like the fact that there's a bit that educational side as well in this story, teaching children what life was like back in the 1940s.
Yeah, during that time period, thinking about, we had things going on through 2020, and there was, it was kind of neat to show kids that even back then, there was a whole nother set of circumstances or challenges that people had to get through. And so I think we always, we say we learn from our past, we learn from our history. And so I think I enjoy this book and watching children, be able to ask questions about that or kind of feel like, okay, things were, back then there were challenges they had then. And then also too, that they're big world challenges, but then also for children, they have their big challenges and it seems so large to them. And maybe small to us, but when we remember when we were kids, those things seem like a pretty big deal.
Absolutely. When children go to school, they will learn about different wars and they'll learn about what it was like for those who were fighting the war, learn about what living conditions were like for those during the war. But we don't often read stories that talk about the food situation, what the food situation was like during that difficult time. So it's great that in your story, it talks a bit about that. It's very educational for children. I want to talk about the illustrations now because it plays a big part in this book. Obviously, you wrote the book, but the illustrations were drawn by someone called Catherine Carver. Could you please explain how you two became acquainted?
Well, we met at work. So I worked at a church here in Atlanta, and she was a student that my boss came to me. I was a craft coordinator for classes that would come in, so a craft teacher. And my boss came to me and said, we have a student that is, she was about 19 at the time. So she was my assistant for at least, I think, maybe 2 years. And we became friends, and I was wanting to encourage her to try new things. So I had told her about this story about my father-in-law and just was telling her about how, he thought that he didn't like cheesecake. And then, by the time he realized that he loved it, it was too late. And he would always say, make sure you never, that you try new things before, because you never know if you'll get a chance to do it again. So one of the things she was nervous about was the copier machine, which I was also intimidated with. New copiers are always kind of scary when you're trying to learn the ins and outs. And so I had encouraged her and had her come with me, showed her how to do it, and then was like, hey, would you like to try it now? And then eventually she got where she could do it on her own, and she was really excited about that. And so she talked about how that story helped her, and I said, well, I've always wanted to put this into a children's book, and she volunteered to do the pictures for me. And she said, look, I'll do the pictures. And I was like, well, I'll pay you. So I brought in photographs to kind of help her see what the history was of the story. And she brought these pictures in, and they were just amazing. And I originally put them in a book for my father-in-law, and it sat on the coffee table for like years. I think it was in 2008 or maybe 2012. And people would come over and read the book and loved it and said, you've got to get this out there. This is a really cute story. Other kids, people need to hear this. And so finally was like, okay, I really do need to do this. I would love for Catherine to have her pictures in a published book and for her to be an illustrator and see her picture on the back of a book and get credit for her artwork, which I just thought was fabulous. And she's the one that came up with the idea of like the when he's first trying to picture a cake and cheesecake and he's seeing, you know, like Swiss cheese and like a birthday cake combined. So it was really her creative genius that just brought that story and that picture. Just makes you laugh when you see it because you can really get an idea of like, okay, that's what a lot of kids think sometimes when they hear cheesecake.
Wow, that's such an inspiring story. I think it's great when you have an illustrator and a writer who can come together to create a remarkable story, because both of them will bring new ideas to the table. So I think it's great to hear that same relationship with you two. So regarding the illustrations, did you just say to Catherine, you know, go and illustrate anything that you want for the story, and then we'll have a look afterwards? Or did you give her clear instructions about what must be illustrated for each page?
So I gave her pictures of the time period and pictures of our family, too. I did mention, too, that, like, I kind of wanted it to be more diverse, like people in the restaurant and things like that. And I think Catherine was very much like, no, this is historical. So she drew it that way. And so that was the only thing really kind of that held me back from getting it published, because I did want it to be more diversified and for more like children to see themselves in that story. But I had talked to people, and there's also sensitivity readers that you can talk to and ask about and questions, and people will be like, no, this is a historical story. This is Roger, your family's perspective. This is kind of, you know, this is the way that it unfolded. And to be able to share that. So going forward, I definitely would like to have stories that appeal to just any child from any background. But working with her, it was interesting because, too, you have two creative people that have very, sometimes it jives really well. You connect really well on what you're thinking. And then there's other times you're like, well, I don't know about this. And they may say, well, I see it differently. And so you have that. It is great to have a great working relationship and be able to share those concerns and work things out.
One of my favorite illustrations is when the main character is folding his arms in protest against eating the cheesecake. I think the illustration perfectly captures the mannerisms of a child. And I love your writing as well in it, where it says, I'm folding my arms to show that I'm really serious. Because children, they do want to show that a sign of being an adult, being independent and being firm with their parents when there's something that they're being really, really serious about. So I thought that was one moment where the writing from a writer and the drawings from an illustrator really came together to show something very humorous, in my opinion.
Thank you. I'll have to pass that on to Catherine.
Well, yes, please do, because I think the illustrations are so good in this book. And another illustration I really like is at the end when he's introduced to carrot cake and he's trying to picture how a carrot cake is possible. A great way of recalling what happened earlier in the book when he's trying to envision cheese and cake coming together to make cheesecake. It's really made me giggle. A nice way to end the story, I found. A really good way to make you laugh. So when you finally decided that you wanted to write this book, How did you start off writing it? Did you read a few picture books, get some ideas of how you want to write it, think about what style you want to do? How did you go about it?
So I first started with a notebook and just started kind of getting the outline and the frame of the story. And then I'd also had been doing this for a while. I mean, I had actually, I had been a member of this, let's say the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. And I had gone to one of their classes and they were talking about how sometimes it takes 7 years for you to get your first book published. And I thought, gosh, that seems like such a long time. And then I think I may have doubled that time, you know, like it really took me a long time to get this book out there. But I had done the outline. There were other books that I had wanted to do and stories that I have. And there's still other stories that I have that I would like to do, but just started outlining it. And then really some great advice I got was to go to the library and look at books that are in your genre with kind of the same thing that you're thinking about or same idea, and kind of get a look and see how, just how they're getting it out there, how their illustrations, looking at how they promoted their story and connecting with them. And so the outline in the notebook was really, really helpful though, just to kind of start to get it blocked off, knowing how many pages you need to have and how you have to tell that story within that amount of pages. And, and I've learned a lot with this book too. Like I would say with this book, I learned maybe that the surprise could have been on the next page as you turn the page. But there's, you kind of live and learn, and then you make the best of your mistakes and try to go from there.
You said before that you would like to write other stories. Do you have any in particular that you want to write next?
Well, we adopted during 2020, we also adopted a Boston Terrier. And so this dog has provided a lot of storytelling ideas for me. And so I have one with him in mind, and I hear him in the background. I hope you can't, but I can hear him in the background. But he's 13 years old, but so I've got an idea for him. This story has come to me from him. And I had an illustrator that I was working with, another young artist. And so, but she's in school right now. And so she's having a hard time keeping up with all of her studies. And so I'm like, okay, well, we can kind of go at a slower pace and try to fit in with her schedule. So it's neat the way, you know, I love working with people. It's neat to collaborate and with other artists and ideas. I mean, they're all around us. So it's a lot of fun. I think I'm still quite like a big child, and I see things similarly to the way that I used to when I was a kid. And I love kids too. They're just so, the way they see things is just great. I'd love it.
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing more information about the upcoming book, and I'll definitely be purchasing a copy. And so I believe that the little boy who wouldn't eat cheesecake won an award.
Oh yeah. So it won. Well, we had the Reader's Choice Favorite Readers Award. Let's see. I'm making sure I write Reader's Favorite 5-Star Award. And then I had a Mom's Choice Award. So that was exciting, to just, you know, when you're getting your first story out there, and to get feedback from other, people that are in the industry, and that's just such a huge encouragement, you know, because it makes you feel like, okay, wow, it's getting there, you know, it's really getting out there and it's getting seen. So, but thank you. Yes, thank you. And congratulations to you. I think this is great that you are doing this podcast. I think there's such a great need for that, for children's book authors and illustrators, and a way to connect and a way for other people to learn, because I think people need that encouragement. It's very hard to get published and to get it out there. And once you do, but there's so many people that have helped along the way. And I'm so appreciative of all the advice and the people that I've been able to connect with. So I think it's great that you're doing this. I think that's such a great idea to have this podcast. So congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, I've been really looking forward to starting this podcast, and it's been so lovely to hear that so many authors want to be part of this project, because I really think that there are so many talented independent authors out there who need their books to be promoted, because I think they got wonderful stories to tell, and I'm hoping that this podcast can really help promote everyone's work. So no, thank you for saying that. So how did you go about getting this book published?
So one of the things that was so difficult was kind of when I was, and I've been working at this for years, it was like you had to to get published, to get an agent, but you also needed an agent to get published. And it was this catch 22. And I started looking at self-publishing and how you go about doing that and creating your own publishing label. And so that's what my husband and I decided to do. That my husband's also, he's an author, but not for children's books, but he wanted to also publish some books. And so we really felt like, okay, in 2020, and we had already decided in the fall of 2019, like we were going to do this. And, so it was scary, and it was, but we had a lot of people, resources that we had looked at and researched it really well before we did it. So I would say self-publishing is something that, now I would talk, I would look into how to do it that way. You don't necessarily have to go through a publishing house to self-publish, if you know what I'm saying. Like, sometimes they charge a lot. You don't want to be charged to publish your own book. There are ways to do it, especially now with Amazon, and there's lots of YouTube tutorials on how to do it and how to upload your images and get it out there. And I would say, yes, it is scary, but you learn a lot through the process. And I'm so glad we did it. I don't have any regrets about getting it out there. I think that was the biggest, scariest leap of all, is just to get it out there. And then once you get it out there, you just learn as you go. And then you talk to other creatives and you find out, and you learn lessons when you put it out there. Okay, next time I know to do this, and keep a journal with me. I also write down, just keep names, contacts, things I've learned, things for next time. So I would say self-publishing is a way to do it. If you're a first-time author and you're having a hard time getting an agent. And then I think from there, there's a lot more possibilities and doors that open up for you down the road.
So Christina, can you tell us where we can find you and where can we purchase our own copy of The Little Boy Who Wouldn't Eat Cheesecake?
So yes, on Amazon is probably the main place that people can find me. So they can get the book, the Kindle version, or the paperback, or the hardcover. I am, and also like Walmart.com and most of the BarnesandNoble.com, you can find online my book. And then with my website is humbleandbold.com. And then I have a school visits page. So if anybody would like me to come to their school and do a reading, or if they would like to get a signed copy and order through me that way, through my email, they can reach me that way.
Christina, thank you so much for sharing that information. I highly recommend purchasing a copy of Little Boy Who Wouldn't Eat Cheesecake. It's a fantastic story with a great message behind it, with lovely illustrations. Christina, thank you so much again for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you, Chris. And again, much success. I wish you much success with this podcast, and I look forward to seeing the other authors that you're going to interview.
Thank you for listening to the first episode of Picture Book Podcast. Please consider subscribing to the show and join me next week where I'll be talking to author and illustrator Callan Till.